Now, this morning we are going to cover the deity of Christ. It basically means, is God or is Jesus God? All right, in a very simple term, is Jesus God? Right? So we are covering into our third series now. We have covered, you know, what church is all about. We have covered the topic about worship. We have spent a few weeks on worship, and we also have spent a few weeks on fellowship. And this today is the start of discipleship, where we learn about who Jesus is and we are called to be Christ-like. All right, so the local church, once again, it is a reminder for us. It is a center for worship and for fellowship. It is a center for evangelism, where we share the good news of Jesus Christ to the people. It is a place where we make disciples. It is a place where we serve one another in ministry. And the preaching and the teaching of the word, the Bible and the scripture, is done primarily in the church. And we are going through this series, all right? It's going to take us, at least for me, a whole year this year. And it's going to start off with the deity of Christ. And towards the end of this month, we are going to deal with original sin. And on the April 27th, we are going to look into the canon of scripture, our Bible, how reliable it is. And then we are going to deal with some of the questions about the Bible. And in between April to August, time unknown yet, we are going to deal with Trinity. Now, the time unknown is because Celine is expecting on the May 10th. All right, we are going to have a baby boy, and May 10th is supposed to be the date of delivery, but we are not sure when is the boy coming out. So I have dedicated a certain time there to be with my family, but whenever possible, I will fit in the Trinity before August the 3rd. All right, then we talk about the resurrection of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, how is Jesus Christ been born into this world, incarnation of Christ, and the new creation, you and I, after we have received Jesus Christ, we are created anew, and what does it mean? And lastly, in December 14, we are going to talk about eschatology, what is to come, all right, what is to come. Now, in terms of the deity of Christ, we are going to cover these four areas. Right, these four areas. When we say Christ, Jesus Christ is God, right, where do we base this from? How do we base, where do we base this claim from? All right, so we are going to look at certain scriptural claims. They are direct claims from the scripture that says that Jesus Christ is God. All right? And of course, we are going to look at some evidences that Jesus possessed attributes of deity. All right, Jesus Christ, He is God, and He possesses certain attributes as God. All right, and of course, we are going to talk about did Jesus give up some of His divine attributes while He was on earth, and why was Jesus' deity necessary? All right, so generally, we are going to deal with, is Jesus God this morning? Now, before we start, let me just share with you something that happened 21 years ago. I'm 42 this year. Midpoint crisis, whatever. I was 21 years old then. I was in my teens, in a way, right? I was doing my bachelor in biotechnology in this place called Sungai Petani. And during the holidays, a bunch of us had the opportunity to, you know, venture around, you know, just like kids. We go around, we explore around what is in Sungai Petani, and we realize that there's this place, right, called Gunung Jerai. And at the foothill, right, there is this place called Lembah Bujang, right? It is an archaeological site. And the few of us who actually visited this Lembah Bujang site, you know, it is a day trip, and we realized that there is this hiking track, as shown in this map. This is the only photo that I can find online, right? And according to the track, all right, we asked the guard of the Lembah Bujang Museum, and he said it's about 2 hours. It is about 2 hours hike. Okay? So immediately we think that, oh, it is possible because we are young, we are at our peak, we are 21 years old, we can do this. So we plan for a hike, and we pack only for 2 hours. And then we have arranged at the hilltop, right, a place for us to stay for the night, and then we come back down the next day. So these are the name of the adventurers that we can think of. I've talked to a few friends who are involved, and we think these are the people who are involved. All right? So 7 of us, We packed really light for one night stay and for 2 hour hike journey. And these are the supplies that we brought. Of course, apart from our change of clothes, right? For food supply, we only had 7 of us, 1 bottle of 1.5 liter water. For the 7 of us, we only have 2 packs of that, I can't see, that sardine with biscuit thing. And we have bacon. Anyone of you know what is bacon? The green color thing. Any hikers here? Okay, that is to help us to get rid of the leeches, right? You spray along your shoes and all this stuff, and then it's supposed to help you go through the journey. Now, something happened. The journey wasn't 2 hours. How many of you actually hike up Gunung Jerai? Oh, Uncle David, you're 80 plus years old. How old were you when you hiked up Gunung Jerai? Huh? 40 years. Amazing. Did you climb all the way up? How long was the journey? Oh, 2 hours. Okay. 2 hours. 7 of us, 21 years old, at our peak, we took 8 hours. Don't laugh. It was a shock to us. It was a shock to us. Because we were never ready for that 8 hours journey. We started off at 11:30 in the morning. We got lost for an hour. So we officially start off the trek by 12:30. And by the time we reached to the end of the trek, it was 8 o'clock at night. And from 4 o'clock in the evening until 7 something in the evening, it was raining. And we were packed as if we are going to 2 hours hike. So you notice that out of these many photos that I can find for my friend, right, I managed to gather this group of people again and find out. And I noticed one thing. Anyone of you notice anything? I was not in any of the photos. 2004, we have Nokia 3310, 3315. Anyone know what's that? No GPS. No photograph taking function. We have our old camera. All right. And we don't have access to lines in a way. All right. We don't have a phone line when this happened. And I was not in the photo, and according to my friends, it is because I was sulking. I was emoing. You know, you understand the meaning of emoing? I was the one who is supposed to prepare the whole group of us for the two-hour hike. And because of miscommunication, because of many, many things, everything went wrong. I could have gotten everyone killed. As I checked, this was actually changed to a Jervai Climbathon course. It's a race course. And if you never noticed, the whole hike was 9 km. And the whole trip is 18 km to up and down. And you have 8 hours for the whole trip. So, Uncle David, I'm glad that you can finish it in 2 hours. You are so, so, so fit. And I'm glad that the 7 of us made it alive up there. So when we reached the road, finally, we had the guards of the telecom building to help us and ferry us using a motorbike to our accommodation site. Now, we could have gotten lost. We could have many things could have gone wrong. And the lesson that I've learned from this journey, even though our friends, we are still laughing about it, is that even though we have communication, face-to-face communication, asking that how long is the trip, do a jump, 2 hours, that went wrong. And I know that, you know, if you know what is ahead, it will help a lot with your journey. Because we keep repeating to our friends, we are going to be there soon. 5 more minutes. You know the feeling? How long is it? You know, when are we there yet? Right? 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes, and it ended up 8 hours. And I've learned that we have to be prepared for the journey with enough supplies. Again, we assume that it was 2 hours. That's why we packed super light and we have to pay for it. Now, looking back in our life as a Christian, are we ready for our journey as Christians? I'm not sure about you, but many of us, I believe, we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior because somebody shared it verbally to you. You know, come on, believe in Jesus Christ because, you know, in John 3:16, he knows that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Full stop. What about the rest of the Bible? Are we ready for our journey as Christians as we dig into the Word of God? Or are we just, you know, do we just know John 3:16 and, you know, that's enough? And knowing what is ahead helps a lot. Do you know where are you going as a Christian? Do you know where is your end point as a Christian here on earth? Do you know that you are called to be, or we are called to be Christ-like? To be a disciple of Jesus Christ. To follow the example of Jesus Christ. And how can we follow the example of Jesus Christ if we do not know anything about Jesus Christ except that he was born and died for us? And are we ready for our journey as Christians? Because we need to be prepared for the journey with enough supplies. And I'm going to introduce to you some tools to help us to understand the Bible even better. So are you ready? Are you ready? So let's go on straight to the deity of Christ. Is Jesus God? That's basically the question. And first thing, of course, we see that there are direct scriptural claims. Right? This is a bit dry, maybe, for some of us. But this is essential because we need to know all this so that we can appreciate the praise and worship. Many of us, we seem doubtful, you know, when we sing. Why are we singing? Can I sing off tune? My voice is not as sweet. But why do we sing in the first place? Are we singing because we want to express our gratitude to this God who has saved us, to this King of Kings, to this Lord of Lords, to the Creator and Sustainer of the universe? Do you know who you are worshiping this morning? So we have direct scriptural claims that theos, right, is use of Christ, the word God. And when the people use this word theos, it means and it refers to one true God, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. They know. When they use this word, it refers to that one person, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It refers to them, the Trinity. Now, this is Greek, and of course, we have corresponding Hebrews entries, Elohim, right? It is often used to refer to God in the Hebrew Bible as well. El, Daniel, right? Daniel, the name Daniel, right? El is a shorter form, and of course, we have the more common one that is Yahweh, all right? Yahweh, the personal name of God. And when you see in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, L-O-R-D in capital letter, it refers to Yahweh, the word Yahweh. It refers to the Greek context, Theos. It refers to the God, the Creator, and the Sustainer of the universe. So when we talk about God this morning, when we talk about God in our conversation, are we referring to this same being? Are we referring to this same being? Now, Theos, it has about 1,327 occurrences in the New Testament, and I'm going to share some of them later with you. But can I just invite AJ to read in Greek? Let us just experience what it means like, or how does it sound like to have John chapter 1, verse 1 being read in Greek. He's doing Greek right now. All right, and I failed my Hebrew, so let's have AJ now.
En arche, ein ho logos, kai ho logos, ein proston theon, kai theos, ein ho logos. John chapter 1, verse 1.
Amazing. It sounds foreign. And AJ has been speaking in tongue in a way. Thank you, AJ. Theos has been used to refer to the one and only God. So when we read of the scripture, when we read of our Bible, when we mention the word God, this is the being that we are referring to. And there are many, many passages that talks about Jesus as God, but let me highlight to you 7 clear passages in the New Testament. In the New Testament, because this is Greek, in New Testament that refers Jesus with the use of theos. Alright, you can just take a photo and you study it by yourself. We have John chapter 1 verse 1 that our brother AJ has read just now. We have John 1, 18. John 20, 28. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. And Romans chapter 9 verse 5. Alright, they are talking about the human ancestry of the Messiah who is God over all forever. Praise Amen. And we have Titus 2:13. Let me just read to you. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 1:8, but about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." And 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. So out of the many, let me highlight to you the 7. You can take a photo, look at it, and these are some of the direct scriptural claims that Jesus is God. Okay? So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1 verse 18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. Now for the young adults especially, we always have our Bible study for the young adults on the third Sunday of the month after the service. So today, after the service, you can go up to the third floor, Joy 3-4 classroom, the biggest classroom there. And AJ will continue the session with the book of John. All right? When we say young adults, doesn't matter. Just come. All right, Ken, just come. Just come and explore the Word of God together. And of course, on Friday night, we have Deacon Bruce, who is leading the life course. Okay, he has been doing certain books. And now, I believe it's Ezra and Nehemiah, the book. 1 Corinthians, all right? This is through Zoom. And if you are interested to learn more about the Word of God, do drop us a message. Go to the counter and say that you want to be part of this 1 Corinthians book study. And we'll give you the link for the Zoom, and then you join us online on Friday night. So these are some of the ways that our church has prepared so that we can understand who God is better and we can worship Him as He is. And the second part is that apart from theos, right, this is another word that is used of Christ, the word Lord, L-O-R-D with a capital L. All right. So kurios, it is, this word means master, and this word means owner, this word means sir. But as they use this word and translate the Old Testament into Greek, the Septuagint, right, they use Lord to refer to Adonai and Yahweh also, right? So this word L-O-R-D refers also to the one God who is the Lord of all, right? So let's have, since AJ is here, we will have him read Luke chapter 2 verse 11 also.
Hoti etekete himen semeron soter hos estin Christos kurios en Pole David.
All right. So this is a very famous one that we usually talk about during Christmas. All right. Luke chapter 2 verse 11. This is what AJ has read just now in Greek. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. And for the people at that time, they understand the intensity of this statement. For us, it's like, oh, the Lord, okay. Jesus, nothing that, you know, special, nothing that zhang ham in Cantonese. But in those days, when the people understand the statement, it means the below. The angel's statement actually means, today in Bethlehem, a baby has been born who is your Savior and your Messiah, and who is also God himself. This is where, you know, the mind was blown. The shepherds, they were afraid at the first place, but after they received this news, they quickly go to the Bethlehem and see for themselves, where is this God, their Savior and their Messiah. So, this word has been used 6,814 times in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And again, I'm going to highlight five to you this morning. All right, so we have Luke chapter 1, verse 43. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This is between Elizabeth and Mary. All right, Elizabeth, the mom of John the Baptist, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord, my God, comes to me? In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, we have read that just now. Matthew 3:3, this is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. The Lord. And Matthew chapter 22, verse 44, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. This is talking about David, referring to Jesus as Lord. And we have Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them out like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. So many, many places, especially in the New Testament, refers Jesus as the Lord God. Then we move on to the next part. Evidences that, you know, Jesus possessed attributes of deity. It basically means, what are some of the attributes that shows that he's a God? What should certain attributes be in a so-called God? Right? So for God to be God, first of all, he must be all-powerful, omnipotent. He must be all-powerful. So we see that, you know, in his life here on earth, in the 3.5 years, in the records of the 4 gospel books, here and there, all-powerful because he has stilled the storm at the sea with a word. Just by speaking a word. And he multiplied the loaves and the fish, right? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He changed water into wine. This is found in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And now what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. They saw him in action. They know that this is not possible with normal human beings. And because Jesus Christ is God, he is omnipotent, he is all-powerful. Now the second part is that his claim. Before Abraham was, I am. You can find this in John chapter 8, verse 57. Before Abraham was, I am. I was already there before Abraham was even born. And of course, we have the very famous one, Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha is 8 letter A. Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So basically, he's saying that I am the A and the Z in English. I am the beginning. I am the end. And of course, the next one is that he is all-knowing. Being God, you know, you need to know all things. And we have a few examples here. Once again, you just take a photo of it. All right. He knows who Nathanael is. He is an Israelite with no deceit. This was recorded in John chapter 4, chapter 1, verses 47 to 48. And Jesus knew people's thoughts. And they were declarations from the disciples to Jesus that, you know everything. And especially Peter answered, you know, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And John chapter 2, verse 25, he did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Each person today, each person 2,000 years ago when he was there on earth, during Abraham's time, during Adam's time, he knew what was in each person. Now, omnipresence, all present. Now, because Jesus Christ himself has limited to a body, a physical body. So when he was present in his 33 years of earthly ministry, he was not everywhere. He has limited himself to the place of Israel, to the Galilee, to the Jerusalem area. But we know that when he say that he is all present, he declares that it is standing true for the church age, which is for us today. There am I in the midst of them. This is talking about conflict, right? Where there are conflicts in the church, when two or three gather in his name, there am I in the midst of them. All right? And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, this is the assurance that he has given to each and every one of us before he ascended to heaven. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Then we know that he is sovereign. This is authority, the divine authority possessed by God and God alone. He forgives sins. We can forgive one another, but we can never forgive sins. And Jesus is claiming in Mark chapter 2, verse 7, that he forgives sins. Now, for normal people like you and me, we will quote the Bible. God says in verses what about this. And thus say the Lord in verses what from the scripture this. But you notice in Matthew chapter 5, verses 22, 28, 32, 34, 39, and 44, he bluntly say that, Jesus is saying that, I say to you. I say to you. He has that authority that possessed by God alone that, you know, whatever I say, Jesus said, right? It means that it is from God. He does not need to refer to the scripture. He is saying to the people there and then. We cannot do that. We can't do that because we do not have any divine authority that comes from God alone. So in John chapter 3, verse 36, this is the divine authority that is possessed by Jesus. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Only in Jesus do we have life. This is the authority that Jesus has. Now, of course, we also see that there is immortality, the inability to die. And we see that in John chapter 2, verse 19, in 3 days I will raise it up. People may think that he was talking about the church, the temple, right? But in fact, he was referring to his own body. And in John 10, 17 to 18, he has the power to lay down his own life and the power to take it up again. Normal human beings, we have the power to lay down our own life. Commit suicide, in a way. But we will never have the power to take it up again. So Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16, it says that he has one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. So this is the God whom we worship today, and truly he is worthy to be worshipped. That is why we come on Sunday prayerfully earlier, so that we can prepare our hearts, we can get into a time of worshiping God together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are doing this in preparation for what is to come, because ultimately on that day, we are going to worship him. So look at these two verses, Revelation chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen." This is why we come together, we worship God, because this is a foreshadow of what is to come. Philippians 2, 8 to 11. "And being found in an appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee we should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So we have the scripture that shows all these evidences that Jesus possesses attributes of a deity. He is omnipotent. He is eternal. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He is all-present. He is sovereign. He has the divine authority. He is immortal. He cannot die. And he is worthy to be praised and worshipped. Now, you know, and I believe there are some contradiction that that thoughts that comes to mind. If he cannot die, why did he die on the cross? Contradicting. We are going to talk about this. Did Jesus give up some of his divine attributes while he was on earth? Incarnation of Christ. We will deal with this human part of Jesus. How can God be fully human and fully God at the same time? We will deal with that then. And now, why was Jesus' deity necessary? We will talk about that end of this month when we deal with original sin. Now, the challenges today, before we end, is that we often face the very same temptations to choose the shortcut, to choose convenience over the teaching of the Scripture. How much time did we invest daily to dig upon the richness of God's Word? How many verses can we remember that can be proved useful when we are at the deepest valley, the darkest moment of our life? And most of us, we are only satisfied with breadcrumbs. John 3:16, Jacob. What we call, one verse, pao ka liao. One verse will sustain you throughout all your life until we meet Jesus face to face. No. We have the whole Bible and we are indeed really, really blessed. And I pray that you will choose a full meal, a proper meal, to digest upon the Word of God instead of just bread crumbs. And sadly to say, sermons is just bread crumbs. You only get to hear a sermon, in the church on Sunday when you come here in the physical sense. But can we actually feast upon the fullness of God's Word in our daily life, day in, day out? And very often we are tempted to focus only on this life on earth. We have neglected the nourishment of our spirit that is destined to live forever. So in a way, we have prepared 20 over years to get ready for the maybe 30 plus years of working. And then after that, we retire. But how about our spiritual nourishment? How much time that we have invested that is building up our spirit so that, ultimately our spirit is going to live forever? How ready is our spirit when the time comes, when we are called to meet God face to face? Is our spirit well nourished? And sometimes we have the temptation to entertain the thought that God's absence or silence means that God does not care. We can look at the book of Job. God did not answer him. They were fighting. And ultimately, when Job asked him, God still did not answer his questions. So there are moments like this in our life, and how we should go about this. The scripture is there to help us. So a reflection point, are we ready for our journey as Christians by holding tightly onto God's Word, which is the Bible or the scripture that we know of today, the 66 books, the Old Testament, the New Testament, because Jesus Christ is God? Only when we have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is God, only then we can be faithful until the end by holding on to the Bible. How many of us, I believe, have moved away from God because of our life circumstances? John 3:16 cannot sustain us for life. The Bible is the answer that can sustain us, because simply Jesus Christ is God and the Bible is the Word of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your scripture. That as we study the deity of Christ, as we study whether Jesus Christ is God, Lord, your scripture answers all things. And we want to give thanks to you for your scripture, for the Bible that we have in possession today, Then we have the 66 books, the 39 from the Old Testament, and the 27 from the New Testaments. All of them points to your saving grace. All of them show us how marvelous your plans are. And your scripture is the guideline for us to follow so that we are prepared in this life and the next. So help us, Lord, to spend our time, to invest our time intentionally, to digest your word. And Lord, even though it may be hard for some of us in the beginning, but Lord, we pray that you will help us join a community, whether it is the Bible study on Sunday, the Sunday school on Sunday, or even the life course on the Friday and the respective connect group that is ongoing throughout the weekdays. Lord, we pray that you will help us to see the need to be grounded in your word. So that, Lord, the waves and the seas and the fog of life will not hinder our worship to you, will not hinder and change our circumstances. Because, Lord, we know that you are our God. And that, Lord, you have in total control of all things that's happening. So, Lord, we want to renew our faith to you this morning. That, Lord, as we continue to look into your word will nourish our spirit. Your word will sustain our life here on earth until we meet you face to face. Your word will be the strength of our life. And that we pray, Lord, your word will be the pillars of our life that we can show upon the next generation. That they too can imitate us as we imitate Jesus Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.